so. I don't think we're going to video stream tonight. Nah. I'm having a bad hair day. Or in my case, bad hairs day. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's program. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff going on. Have you seen the pictures of Cheney? I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. Right before the program tonight, I get an email from naturalnews.com. Good website. So I open and start reading. Here's what it says. Now that we're in the midst of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, with all its pinkwashing nonsense at full tilt, it brings up the question of why the month is named an awareness month. Why not name it Breast Cancer Prevention Month? The answer to that question, naturalnews.com writes, the answer to that question, it turns out, reveals a number of interesting things about the cancer industry that the general public isn't supposed to know. For starters, you're only supposed to be aware of breast cancer, but you're not supposed to actually prevent it. The whole point of this awareness month is not actually to increase awareness of breast cancer. Virtually everyone is already aware of the existence of this disease, but rather to increase fear so that more women will go get screened for cancer. They should really call it the Be Afraid of Breast Cancer Month. The big push for more cancer screening, naturalnews.com says, only results in more recruitment of women into high-profit cancer therapies such as chemotherapy and surgery. This is where the real profits are to be found. And Breast Cancer Awareness Month is really all about corralling women into these high-profit treatments. The science, by the way, says that radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery harm far more women than they help. And that cancer overdiagnosis and overtreatment is such a huge problem today that all these breast cancer awareness campaigns are actually hurting women's health across the board. Interesting point of view. I hadn't thought about that. We have several friends who are breast cancer survivors. Kathy and I do. And I've never heard of breast cancer prevention. They talk about colon cancer prevention. They talk about lung cancer prevention. They talk about, well, not so much prostate cancer prevention, although it is relatively simple. Oh, I'm going to get a lot of emails about that, right? But breast cancer awareness. And is breast cancer the number one killer of women? I think it's heart disease. And I think lung cancer has become number two. And colon cancer may be number three. It's up there. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm not criticizing anyone who wants to do a Susan Komen march or anything of the sort, if that's, you know, what you're into. Didn't you just recently do a march for, what was that 5K event that you went to? Oh, mental health. In this country? Oh, good luck, Kathy. A federal judge issued a worldwide injunction today that immediately stops, or is supposed to, enforcement of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which suspends the 17-year-old ban on openly gay U.S. troops. Now, you have to remember where this came from. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That had to do with one of the first things that Bill Clinton did when he was elected president, when he took office, was to try to end the discrimination, the ridiculous, infuriating discrimination against gays in the military. So that's the 17 years they're talking about. Right? The ruling also ordered the government to suspend and discontinue all pending discharge proceedings and investigations under the policy. The Obama Justice Department attorneys have 60 days to appeal. Officials said they're reviewing the case and had no immediate comment. This is the weird part, because the Obama administration itself is against this policy. But in order to inoculate itself against charges by the political crazy people in this country, they wanted Congress to do it. Well, Congress is not going to do it, because the sap-sucking Republicans, all they have to do is say, "We'll fill up!" And before you can get the word out, the Democrats all run to the cloakroom and pee their pants. So if it doesn't get done by judicial fiat, you know, making law, kind of the way the U.S. Supreme Court does, the conservative John Roberts Court, the way it makes law, overturns precedent, destroys years and years and years of agreed-to policy, you know, the stuff that these right-wing rat bastards always accuse the liberals of doing. Where was I? So the only way this policy is going to be overturned and ended is by judicial order, which is what occurred today. The injunction goes into effect immediately. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering where the case came from, who filed the lawsuit 6 years ago to stop the enforcement of this nonsense? It was the Log Cabin Republicans. Oh, my goodness, really? You don't say. Yeah, it was Republicans. Of course, anyone who declares themselves to be a Republican and homosexual, it's like someone declaring themselves to be a chicken and really liking Colonel Sanders. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with Log Cabin Republicans, but anyway, for the record, the gay rights group, the Log Cabin Republicans, filed the lawsuit in 2004 to stop the ban's enforcement. Judge Virginia Phillips is the one who issued the order. And Dan Woods, the attorney who represented the Log Cabin Republicans, said, quote, "Don't ask, don't tell, as of today at least, is done. And the government is going to have to do something now to resurrect it." He went on to say, "This is an extremely significant historic decision. Once and for all, this failed policy is stopped. Fortunately, now we hope all Americans who wish to serve their country can," end quote. Well, okay, but let's not go overboard here, Dan. It's not serving the country, and you know it as well as I do, but then you represent a Republican group. It is serving the interest of corporate America. And the right to go die for capitalism should be a right granted to everybody, black, white, gay, straight, Jew, Gentile, man, woman, right? Huh? So the issue of dying for one's glorious country and mom and dad and apple pie and the flag and sis and brother is hog snot, and you know it as well as I do, truth seeker. And yet we tell ourselves just, you know, we don't tell ourselves the truth. Oh, now gay folk can go serve their country, defending freedom around the globe. And you know that's a lie. What this simply means, and I would have thought corporate America would have been behind this, which they probably were, but they should have instructed their whores, no offense to sex workers, in the Republican Party to support it. More bodies! So if somebody happens to be gay and wants to join the military, I just hope he or she understands that he or she is not going out there to fight for America's values as they are presented across the spectrum of our society, but in fact are going out to support America's values as defined by Wall Street and the capitalists. Period. End of paragraph. Oh, by the way, legal experts say the Obama administration is under no legal obligation to appeal, even though the pressure will be on, of course, because Barack Obama wants to, you know, he doesn't want the Republicans to have ammunition against him, which they will in 2012. He's the man who let the queers in to poison the military. You know how it goes. We'll be right back. Just like, yeah.
outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to the decision today ordered by, or the decision rendered by U.S. District Judge Virginia Phillips, who ruled that it's time to stop with this nonsense of don't ask, don't tell where it concerns the U.S. military. Corporate America needs as many bodies as it can get its hands on in order to defend the policies of predatory capitalism and to eliminate 10 to 20% of the population who might otherwise sign up is insane. The log cabin Republicans are the ones who brought the lawsuit 6 years ago to stop the ban's enforcement. And today an attorney, or the judge hearing the case, federal judge who heard the case, said it's all over. Alexander Nicholson, executive director of the Service Members United, which is the nation's largest organization of gay and lesbian active duty troops and veterans, said, quote, this order from Judge Phillips is another historic and courageous step in the right direction, a step that Congress has been noticeably slow in taking, end quote. Well, not Congress, really. The Republican obstructionists in Congress are the ones who have been very slow in taking this particular step. So, you know, let's be real here. As long, well, I don't know how real we can be, because we are playing a ridiculous game here, are we not? And the game that we're playing is, let's all pretend that the United States military is never forced into combat except when all other avenues of diplomacy have failed. That's not the case. U.S. troops are sent into combat based on lies, deceptions, predatory capitalism, half-truths, ambition of people in the executive branch, and on and on and on. So it doesn't make any difference if the troops sent to die and kill are gay or straight. It has no bearing on anything. Nothing whatsoever. In fact, the idea that people who are homosexual, who were barred from becoming involved in this killing and being killed, is a joke whose punchline I don't quite get. I'm not sure where this ever came from. That because of somebody's sexual orientation, they are not to be coerced through phony tales of patriotism and mom and the flag and apple pie into going out and committing murder and dying for predatory capitalism. Come on, this is nonsense. Okay, if we're going to play the game, then, that now homosexual people as well as heterosexual people, if I may make such a distinction, are all entitled to die for capitalism, well, let's goddamn say it. Why make this a human rights issue? Why not put it exactly where I think it belongs? To die for capitalism, to kill for predatory capitalism, to continue to maintain the illusion of empire that the people who run this country insist on maintaining. Now we can have gay folk as well as straight folk go do the bloody deeds. Woo. Wow, what a step into the future. Golly gee, what a progressive move. Aren't we all proud now? Eh? Are we all proud? No more telling gay folk they can't go kill and die for corporate America. Aren't we proud? Oops. Maybe I'm taking the wrong attitude. Gay civil rights groups warned gay troops not to make their sexual orientation public just yet. The legal director for the Service Members Legal Defense Network said he expects the Justice Department to appeal. If that happens, the case would be brought to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, where the decision could be reversed. Now, the only entity that can appeal this is the Obama administration, because they are the defendants in this case. The plaintiff were log cabin Republicans. The defendant, I don't know, whoever it was. It was the Pentagon, the Armed Services, the Obama administration. Of course, there was no Obama administration in 2004 when this was filed. So I'm sure the executive branch is the defendant. So it's entirely, it's not Phyllis Schlafly's Eco Forum. It's not some Christian crazy people who can file an appeal of this decision. It's only the U.S. Justice Department. So this puts the Obama administration in the awkward position of defending a policy it wants Congress to repeal. I wonder if Barack Obama will ever wake up to what he is dealing with. You always want that bipartisan thing, don't you, Mr. President? You know what? Have you figured it out yet? You're never going to get it. And now you're in the unenviable position because of your policies where you may have to appeal a decision that was rendered in favor of gay Republicans. Woohoo!
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. Where are we? Oh, yeah, the White House has lifted the ban on deep water drilling. Oh, yay! How about that? The Obama administration lifted its moratorium on deep water drilling for oil and gas today after imposing new rules intended to prevent another disaster like the one that occurred back in, when was that? May? April? 100 years ago? Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who has as much business being Interior Secretary as, oh, I don't know, maybe somebody who works for Monsanto. Anyway, Ken Salazar, who never saw a piece of ground he didn't want to punch a hole in, said, quote, "We have made and continue to make significant progress in reducing the risks associated with deep water drilling. Therefore, I've decided that it is now appropriate to lift the suspension on deep water drilling for those operators that are able to clear the higher bar that we have set." Oh, my God. End quote. The administration's decision takes effect immediately, but it may be weeks or months before drilling operations resume. Because, well, gosh darn it, companies will first have to submit new permit applications. You know, that damned old bureaucracy. When I get elected, since I'm a teabagger, there will be none of that nonsense. You want to drill? Drill. Drill, baby, drill. Permit applications showing that they have compiled or complied with the tougher rules and have had their rigs inspected. Ooh. Officials said that they expect at least some of the idle drilling rigs in the Gulf to be at work again by the end of the year. And then I like this statement from Ken Salazar, the Interior Secretary. Government, whose function in these weird times should be, as it was decided years and years ago, the function of government is to protect the people from predatory capitalism. Believe it or not, that is what the function of government should have evolved into at this point. The framers of the Constitution warned against corporations and the movement of the locus of power from the people, not to the government, to the corporations, which is almost a fait accompli already. But anyway, here's what Ken Salazar said today. We are open for business. We? But you're the Secretary of the Interior. What do you mean we are open for business? Your reference is to the drilling companies. Deep water drilling that will never be safe. Ever. So how long, Truth Seekers, do you think it'll be before we have another Deepwater Horizon event? Huh? How long do you think it'll be? The moratorium was due to run through November 30th, but the Obama administration had come under intense pressure from the oil and gas industry to lift the ban early. Because of the economic impact of about 30 drilling rigs that had been at work in the region. Economic impact on the people in the Gulf Coast region or on the oil companies? Oil industry expressed some concerns that the new regulations that Ken Salazar crows about would mean that the ban would effectively remain because of those dirty old damned regulations. Senator Mary Landrieu, Louisiana Democrat, who has been among the most vocal critics of the moratorium, called the decision to lift the ban, quote, a step in the right direction, unquote, but said that the Obama administration, which last time anyone checked was part of the same party that Mary Landrieu is in. Oh, never mind. She said the Obama administration must accelerate the granting of permits and offer more clarity about the new rules. By clarity, what she means is get rid of 90% of them. Jesus, Mary, way to go. By the way, Landrieu has single-handedly blocked Obama's nomination of Jacob Lew to be the White House budget director. Don't ask. In protest over the moratorium, she said today that she would not release her hold yet. See, it's not just Republicans who do this. Democrats do it, too, right? So Mary Landrieu said to Obama, you want this guy as your budget director? Well, kiss my lily white ass. You lift the moratorium, sweetheart. Once you lift the moratorium, I'll consider lifting my hold on your boy, Jacob Blue. You see how this works? Mary Landrieu said, quote, when Congress reconvenes for the lame duck session next month, I will have had several weeks to evaluate if today's lifting of the moratorium is actually putting people back to work, end quote. But Mary, I mean, the oil companies themselves say it'll be towards the end of the year. Oh, never mind. Never mind. And the oil companies, the spokesman, Chris John, a former Democratic member of Congress who is now president of the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. What do you think they do? You think that's a lobbying organization? Welcomed the announcement, but expressed similar concerns as did Mary Landrieu. Old Chris John said, quote, we can't get to the permitting process if the moratorium's still there, so we're very happy that they've taken this step. What does that mean? He said, we had a disturbing experience in the shallow water where there was no moratorium, but some of the rules and regulations and bureaucracy caused the number of permits to plummet, end quote. What does that mean? Oh, by the way, the drilling moratorium has now been lifted, and the BP spill cleanup and restoration hasn't even been completed. Oh, what the hell. It's the Gulf of Mexico, Truth Seekers. That's a big body of water. That old Gulf of Mexico can absorb anything. Bring it on. Gulf of Mexico just kind of sits there and goes, erp. About a third of me is already dead. Bring it on. Bring on your goddamn drilling rigs. I don't care. They haven't even cleaned up the last disaster. Oh, well. Oh, by the way, did you know this? U.S. bankers are set for record compensation for the second consecutive year. Think about this while you're trying to figure out how you're going to make your next mortgage payment. You're already 4 or 5 months behind. You've gotten your foreclosure notice. You don't have a job. Your health insurance is gone. Well, don't be so down in the dumps, booby. U.S. bankers are set for record compensation for a second consecutive year, shattering both the illusion of pay reform and the expectation that bank bonuses would be tempered while the U.S. economy is in the crapper. But no, not for these boys. And are they using their earnings to create jobs? No. No. They're getting tons of money from the Federal Reserve at zero interest. Just money. It's a goddamn avalanche of money for the top 0.1% in this country, while the rest of us suck down here in the corners trying to figure out what the hell we're going to do. But the banking industry, woo-woo! A study of more than three dozen banks, hedge funds, money management, securities firms estimate they will pay $144 billion in salary and benefits this year, a 4% increase over 2009. The research by the Wall Street Journal, by the by, found pay was rising faster than revenue. And while profits had fallen from their peak in 2007, the percentage directed to compensation, bonuses, and these greedy sons of bitches has increased by 23%. How about that? At Goldman Sachs, one of the most vile capitalist octopus sucking vampiric organizations on earth. Who said that? Matt Taibbi. Where revenue is projected to fall 13.5% this year. Compensation expected to rise 3.7%. See how this works? Oh, by the way, the report also found that bankers who are working at closely regulated businesses are looking to join less closely regulated businesses and hedge funds. Ooh, oh, I don't like that spotlight. I do my best work when there's no light shining on me. Ooh, please. At private equity firms Blackstone and Fortress Investment, compensation is projected to climb 12% and 29% respectively. So while you're sitting there trying to figure out how in the hell you're going to buy your kids any toys at Christmas, in the first place, you shouldn't be doing that. But since that's what is done in this country, or you're trying to figure out how in the hell you're going to afford your hormone-saturated, fat-dripping turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, while you're trying to figure out how in the hell you're going to get that hernia operation you desperately need, while you're figuring out how your kids are ever going to have any clothes or shoes to wear to school, rest assured, Mr. and Miss America, that not all is lost. The top 0.1% is doing quite well on your back. Thank you very much. That's how the lead gets in.
Only with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Hey, in the third hour tonight, we're going to talk some insurance stuff that you're going to find very, very, it's going to make you very pissed off, I think. About what the health insurance industry has done and what Prudential Life Insurance, Prudential Financial Incorporated is their proper name, what they have done and continue to do to the families of soldiers who went off to fight for capitalist America, corporate America, and died, and what has happened to their insurance money. Yeah. Bob Alexander sent me this story about a month ago, and I've been meaning to get to it, and I'm going to get to it tonight. I have a feeling I'm going to get very angry. I have a feeling you may, too. The Supreme Court rejected the case of a woman who was ejected from the Bush speech. Do you remember this? This was, when was it? Several years ago, 2005. I remember talking about this. There's this woman who, she's from Colorado. Her name is Leslie Weiss, a clean energy consultant. She did not protest or threaten Bush. She got a ticket to an event in December in Denver in 2005 where Bush was to speak about Social Security. But when the SS guards, put there by Dick Cheney, when the SS guards learned of the bumper sticker on her car, they had her removed from her seat and escorted out of the building. The bumper sticker said, "No more blood for oil." No more blood for oil. She later sued, excuse me, she sued Michael Casper, a Bush aide, and another official who made the decision to run her out of the building. And they admitted that the bumper sticker was the reason for their action. Now think about, oh, we're teabaggers. We believe in free speech. Barack Obama isn't, you know. The two Bush SS staffers admitted that the bumper sticker was the basis for their action. A second person named Alex Young was also tossed out of the Bush speech, and he joined the lawsuit. But a federal judge in Denver and the U.S. Court of Appeals both ruled that excluding the pair did not violate the First Amendment. Judge Wiley Daniel, in dismissing the suit, had written, "President Bush had the right and his own speech to ensure that only his message was conveyed." Now, keep in mind, the woman was not holding a sign inside the venue. Out in the parking lot, with thousands of other cars on her bumper, where nobody could see it unless you're driving down the freeway, was a sign that said, "No blood for oil." Had nothing to do with Bush. No blood for oil. Okay? Okay. So, Ms. Young and Mr. Weiss appealed that decision to the Supreme Court with the help of the ACLU and argued that when government officials are speaking at events that are open to the public and paid for by the taxpayers, they may not screen out persons based solely on their views. No blood for oil. The two plaintiffs acknowledged that the president or other elected officials may screen the audience when they are speaking at partisan political gatherings or at private gatherings, but not at public gatherings funded with taxpayer money. No, 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 no. However, by a vote of 7-2, the only two who said, "Are you crazy?" This woman's free speech was denied. The only two said that were Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor. The other seven, we don't want to hear it. The justices, without comment, turned down the appeal. In her two-page dissent, Justice Ginsburg wrote, quote, "Official reprisal for protected speech offends the Constitution because it threatens to inhibit exercise of that protected right." Well, Justice Ginsburg, nice try, but we don't live there anymore. All propaganda has to be popular and has to accommodate itself to the comprehension of the least intelligent of those whom it seeks to reach. All propaganda has to be popular and has to accommodate itself to the comprehension of the least intelligent of those whom it seeks to reach. Think about that statement when you think about what the right-wing rat bastards in media and the people who were screaming death panels and so on and so on. That's a quote, by the way, from Adolf Hitler. But think about it. All propaganda has to be popular and has to accommodate itself to the comprehension of the least intelligent. Death panels! Oh, God, really? Death panels? Oh, hell, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I'm going to insist that my representative vote against this Obamacare. Is that what it's called? Death panels? Oh, my God. All propaganda has to accommodate itself to the comprehension of the least intelligent of those whom it seeks to reach. Like the guy who famously held up the sign that said something about liberal morons. Remember him? M-O-R-A-N-S. Stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes. I'm Mike Malloy. Regarding that, Andy in California, regarding the hold Mary Landrieu has on Jacob Lew as Obama's new budget director. Andy writes, Mike, it's not such a bad thing that Blue Dog corporatist Senator Mary Landrieu, full-fledged oil and natural gas sycophant, won't remove the hold on Jacob Lew as the OMB budget director. Mr. Lew is an ex-vice president at Citicorp who doesn't believe that deregulation had anything to do with housing disaster or the last recession. You see, Mr. Lew is a protege of Robert Rubin, part of Team Clinton that did for Wall Street what no Republican administration could do, blow up Glass-Steagall and deregulate credit default swaps and energy trading, among other derivatives, like massive sterilization and or massive securitization and packaging of mortgages through the Commodities Future Modernization Act of 2000. Mr. Lew worked with Mr. Rubin at this time in the government and supported the demise of Glass-Steagall and legislation to deregulate derivatives. This is really no law. Well, you try to read all this stuff. These syllables are just so full of D's and V's and G's. That's what makes it hard. Mr. Lew worked with Mr. Rubin at this time in the government and supported the demise of Glass-Steagall and legislation to deregulate derivatives. This is really no loss, keeping Mr. Lew on the bench. We are just delaying the damage this lackey will ultimately perpetrate on the working class citizens of this nation. All right. Didn't know that. Thanks, Andy. So Mary Landrieu's hold is, even though she's stamping her foot and saying, I'll show that damn Democrat in the White House. Whoops, I'm a Democrat, too. It's okay. I get it. I get it. I really do get it. It is time for... oh, wait a second. I want to do Prairie 2's report here in a moment, but Dick Cheney, have you seen that picture of Cheney? Cheney has been in the hospital for 5 weeks, and he's back on the campaign trail. He has about 10 stops. Oh, that's right. It's called the speaking circuit. Excuse me. I thought for a moment there, I thought it was a campaign trail for a Republican. Oh, I lost my mind. Oh, plus he's got some hunting trips planned. I'm sure he does. He spent much of the summer, this ghoul, at Inova Fairfax Heart and Vascular Institute. While he was there, he got some pneumonia. Damn. He had a left ventricular assist device implanted. And he's waiting for a heart transplant, although his friends, both of them, said he hasn't decided yet whether to seek a heart transplant. His daughter, the psychopathic Liz Cheney, paused from trying to figure out ways to start a nuclear war and said, quote, it was a tough summer and very serious surgery, but he's doing really, really well. She went on to say, the technology is amazing, and he's the toughest guy you'll ever meet. He's got his strength back, is loving hanging out with the grandkids, planning his next hunting and fishing trips, finishing his book, and getting back engaged in the issue the country is facing. I said it before, I'll say it again. Liz, cut the crap and start planning your daddy's funeral. Come on, just do one daughterly thing. Other than prance around the countryside with your nonsense and your propaganda. Well, yeah, I'm out. I'm finally out of the hospital. You all notice how pale and drawn I look. Jesus Christ, I looked in the mirror yesterday. I scared myself. I look awful. Do you know why I look awful? These goddamn people in the hospital wouldn't feed me. I mean, not really. They brought me stuff like carrots, beef, pudding, lettuce. I kept saying, I need Muslim baby blood. That's the only thing. Or maybe Jewish baby, some Christian baby blood would have worked, I guess, in a pinch. But Jesus Christ, I've made it so clear to everybody. I needed huge, frothy glasses of Muslim baby blood. No. No, they wouldn't do it. The dirty bastards wouldn't do it. I have spilled enough Muslim blood on this planet to certainly warrant a few glassfuls, wouldn't you think? Yes, and baby blood. Christ, I've wiped out more Muslim babies than Richard the Lionhearted did. You kidding me? So that's why I look like this. You ever try eating carrots when you wanted baby blood? Ick. I brought my grandchildren in one day when they thought I was still in a coma. Brought them real close to the bed. Not smart. Not smart at all. Liz picked up on that, immediately got them out of the room. Get the kids out of the room, quick. So I'm back. I may look like, well, a ghoul. I'm not really. I just like to see dead things. I like to see cities on fire. Well, I see populations screaming while white phosphorus rains down on Jesus Christ. That's cool. That's why I like to go hunting at that game preserve. They release those stupid goddamn pigeons, and it's great fun to shoot them. Oh, my God, I love to... Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Every once in a while, the pump screws up, you know what I'm saying? Here. Feel my wrist. Isn't that cool? No pulse. They cut a great big piece out of my heart, about the size of a baby's heart, and put a chunk of metal in there. And when I go to bed at night, I don't hear my heart beat like you do. I hear... kind of cool when you get right down to it. I can't wait to get back out there. I can't wait to go hunting. You know what they do when I go fishing? They go upstream with sticks of dynamite. Throw it in the water, boom. All these stupid goddamn fish come floating down, real dead. I just take my net and scoop them up. Jesus Christ, that's good sport. I love that. I love that almost as much as shooting those stupid goddamn pigeons. Occasional lawyer. And dumb bastard apologized to me. I can't. It's hard to laugh. I'll be all right as soon as Liz gets me some canisters of Muslim baby blood.
Synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour from Prairie 2. Billions in profit equal millions of dead. The minutes of the September Federal Reserve meeting were released today, and it's being read by traders to mean the Fed will print a bunch of new money, and this drove up the markets, or rather pre-inflated them. This buying of worthless paper assets with worthless paper money is referred to by the Fed as quantitative easing. This would be the second round of this and is known as QE2, you know, like the ocean liner. Of course, some people are rechristening it as the voyage of the Titanic. Start short selling ice. Now, the big discussion is exactly how much money will they print? Half a trillion? 2 trillion? Or will the Fed disappoint the market by not printing as much as they expect? Not enough money means deflation and not inflation. Talk of a gold bubble is coming up again. There are people holding a lot of gold on speculation, and you don't need to have very much of any commodity changing hands to drive the price down. All you need is for buyers to think they will hold out until the price bottoms out. The problem is that speculators often need to raise cash for margin calls and such. If too many start selling, then the price will drop like a rock. The so-called foreclosure crisis may have nothing to do with problems in processing actual foreclosures, but rather a massive paper fraud. It's starting to look like a number of the mortgages used to create the trillions in securitized debt obligations don't even exist. The stories of people being foreclosed on who didn't have a mortgage or changing the locks on people who aren't delinquent are hints that the really big scandal is yet to come. How much of the whole business was simply fraud? Securitizing a mortgage pays a small commission. Securitizing a non-existent mortgage pays 100%. Some $2.7 trillion of this phony paper is still on the bank books, with no one having any idea how much of it represents real assets or how much any of it is really worth. Meanwhile, our principal banker, China, is feeling its oats with the Red Navy dominating the entire South China Sea. U.S. Defense Secretary Bob Gates just took a trip to Vietnam to try to reassure our allies that we still have their back. He went to the People's Republic of Vietnam to tell our allies that we will keep the People's Republic of China at bay. Strange days indeed. China's defense minister dropped in for the conference as well, and he met with Gates for 30 minutes. That must have been an interesting conversation. China has launched dozens of new destroyers and submarines. It's now building aircraft carriers as well as ballistic missile bases that can reach out and destroy U.S. aircraft carriers 2,000 miles away. Corn continues to increase in price, although we are still far short of the level that produced food riots across the Third World in 2008. But the Wall Street speculators are just getting warmed up. The supply is much tighter this time, with droughts and flooding nearly worldwide. Not that there is any real shortage, just tight enough that Wall Street can jam up the works. George Bush was still running things in 2008. Obama's Secretary of Agriculture has come out and said there is no shortage. We'll have to see if Obama wants to take on Wall Street or let a few million people starve to death as Bush did. You know how Republican Congress will react if he does intervene. A capitalist system just isn't working if nobody's starving. PrairieNumeral2.com. And more on China in a moment, right after the break that's almost upon us. But when I move on to this next item, just remember what Prairie 2 just wrote about China. China has launched dozens of new destroyers and submarines. It's now building aircraft carriers as well as ballistic missile bases that can reach out and destroy U.S. aircraft carriers 2,000 miles away. All that stuff, new destroyers, new submarines, aircraft carriers, ballistic missiles, do they all run on nuclear fuel? No. Some of them still run on fossil fuel, diesel, or in some instances, oil. Where in the hell are the Chi-Coms going to get all that oil? Well, when we come back from this break, I'll tell you where they're going to get a lot of it. Not just oil, but natural gas, too. Oh, my goodness. Remember, who said it, that the United States would sell communism the rope that communism will use to hang us, or something like that? It seems so long ago, so far away. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
went down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might
My name's Johnny. But I'll take your bet. You're going 25 before the hour. So, anyway, so where are the Chinese going to get all the fuel they need for their destroyers and submarines and aircraft carriers and ballistic missile bases? And, you know, eventually the United States and China are going to have a very serious conflict. It'll start probably as an economic conflict, maybe even a currency conflict first, then economic, and then, you know, spheres of influence. And then finally, as with the Japanese in the late 30s, it'll blow into full-scale war. Only this time, there's no such thing as a sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. There's no such thing as a sneak attack on anything. There is mutual assured destruction that is not a term from the 60s. It really isn't. Oh, well. So where are the Chinese going to get all this fuel? Well, guess what? South Texas. South Texas, according to the San Antonio Express News and the Laredo, Texas Morning Times, South Texas, already in the midst of a historic drilling boom, will soon get a boost from an unlikely source, China. China's national oil company, CNOOC, Chinook, if you will spend $2.2 billion dollars. Dollars that they've gotten from American consumers for crap. Anyway, they're going to use those dollars to drill in partnership with some capitalist organization called Chesapeake Energy Corporation. And they're going to dig in the Eagle Ford Shale. It's called a rich oil and gas formation that lies under 11 counties in South Texas. And according to the newspapers, exploration has already brought newfound prosperity, hallelujah, to South Texas hardscrabble farming and cattle country. And Chesapeake Energy Corporation said the ramped-up drilling could bring 20,000 jobs to the region. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. If Eagle Ford Shale's production levels reach forecasted levels, says Bob Freiklund, research director at an energy research firm, if it turns out that the production is there, quote, it could definitely be a fairly strong contributor to the economy and to the investor, particularly in South Texas, end quote. So the Chinese, of course, they are all over the place. They're like cockroaches, wealthy cockroaches everywhere. Brazil, Africa, several countries in Africa, South Texas, the city of Cotulla, Texas. Oh, by the way, the forecast is a production from the Eagle Ford Shale could reach 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas a day by 2011, which is pretty robust. That's the same level as what's currently the largest offshore natural gas gathering spot, the Gulf of Mexico's Independence Hub, it's called. Independence for whom, right? Of course. Anyway, the city of Cotulla, Texas, has been in the midst of an Eagle Ford, that's the area where they're going to drill, boom, for more than a year. And the promise of even more activity is hard to imagine, said Bill Cotulla, whose great-grandfather founded the town. That's why they have the same name. rumors had swirled for months that Chesapeake Energy was in negotiations with the Chinese company. Now, not everybody is happy down there. I got a couple of quotes here from a couple of Korean War veterans. Let me see. Where do I have those quotes? Oh, yeah, here they are. John Allen, an 80-year-old Korean War vet, said he wouldn't lease his property to Chesapeake because they're doing business with those goddamn Chinese. And his friend William Gyrish, who's 85, was ambivalent, saying he leases with Chesapeake, but I ain't going to do business with him. My son handles that. Gordon Meyer, who has leased mineral rights on his 220-acre property and is waiting for drilling to begin, he took a more nuanced view of all this from 80-year-old John Allen, Korean War veteran. Gordon Meyer said, look, this is a pretty big boom for this country. I hate to see the Chinese coming in, but it takes a lot of dollars to drill those wells, several million, so they've got to go where they can get the money. I don't know what that means, but yes, it takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of dollars, and the Chinese have all of ours. Right? The Chinese have all that money that used to be, Mr. Gordon Meyer, maybe in your 401k fund or in your bank account or in your investment portfolio, right? The Chinese have it all now. So now they're going to take those dollars and come on over here into South, by God, Texas. And we will sell them the rope that they'll use to hang us. Why a Chinese company? Is there no American company that could partner up with old Chesapeake Energy Corp? Not one? Apparently the Chinese have a better deal. And by the way, who owns CNOOC, Chinook? Well, probably the Chinese military, since the company is a is China's national oil company. And there's very little on a national level, practically on any level, but certainly not a national level, that is not owned outright or owned in part by the Chinese military. That's how it works in that glorious socialist paradise. Well, it's not really socialist. It's more fascist, corporatist style, the kind that eventually, after November 2nd in this country, will begin its final move in this country. Chinese in South Texas. Hot damn. Well, that makes it pretty easy for Karl Rove, who is from South Texas. It makes it pretty easy for Karl Rove to hop his old rotund ass over there and collect more money from the Chinese to influence American elections. Huh? The money that goes on to the U.S. Chamber of by God Commerce. How's that for a trick? They give us money that we use, or the Chamber of Commerce uses, to influence elections. I'll tell you a little bit more about this coming up next hour, about the insurance companies, what they're going to do when the great counter-revolution occurs on November 2nd in this country. Oh, it's coming. How far away are we? About 2 weeks. Lord, I can smell it. Can't you? It's just like Dick Cheney. He can smell some of that Muslim baby blood. He knows it's going to be delivered to him. He knows it will be. Bring me a big canister and a long straw, Liz. I'm hungry. So the Chinese. I love the headline. Chinese to boost South Texas boom to new high. We'll sell them the rope that they'll use to hang us. So while Prairie 2 points out this truth of China's... increasing interest in dominating the entire world. You know, it was called the Middle Kingdom for certain reasons, but that's going to have a whole new flavor to it here in, I don't know what, 2-3 decades, however long it takes. And I think the Chinese are in their long-term planning. I know it's a phrase that has become very foreign to Americans, but some, you know, types of people, some nations still use long-term planning. Their interest is more than next quarter's bonuses for the predators that are ripping this country to pieces. So the Chinese long-term planning includes And this is where, what's her name? Who's the I'm Not a Witch woman? O'Donnell. She said that she said years ago, the Chinese have a plan to take over the United States. I don't know where she got that little gem of wisdom, but she's absolutely by God right. Maybe she got it from Satan. I don't know, but Christine O'Donnell's right, which is another reason why Christine O'Donnell should be elected to the Senate from Delaware. She really, 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 really should, because she is wise beyond her years. And you can bet that Dick and Liz Cheney will get a piece of that. Although, the only thing I want right now is a decent red liquid meal. Liz, goddammit, go get something for me. I'm hungry.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, yeah, you can go ahead, turn on your televisions. It's on MSNBC. I'm sure it's on CNN too. They're about to start plucking these Chilean miners from what could have been a mass grave, 2,000 feet down. Where were we? Somebody once said that capitalism needs constant growth to survive, even if this growth is unsustainable. That's the same way that a cancer cell operates. RB. Yeah, that's true. It has to, capitalism, that's why, you know, I don't care what you think about capitalism. I don't care if you're a great capitalist and you think it's just the greatest thing since the birth of your savior. Capitalism eventually has to die because it can't keep going. Natural resources are finite. The planet is finite. Markets are finite. So eventually capitalism turns on itself. It's like that picture you've all seen. I've seen it. I hope you have, of the snake swallowing its own tail. Eventually that happens. Nobody gets that. Nobody gets that in the wonderful, wacky world of capitalism. Ah, George in Oregon writes, Mike, know where all the high-tech electronic technology that the Chinese are using to control all of their new whiz-bang weaponry came from? I bet you can guess. 3, 2, 1. Right, corporate America! All of our U.S.-designed and Chinese-manufactured stuff was a free gift. Not only were our jobs exported, but we also exported all of our advanced technology. But the things they send back here are cheap. I remember back during the bad old Reagan years and the bad old Pappy Bush years and the bad old Junior Bush years and the bad old Clinton years, when reports were swirling around the media world about how American technological aerospace firms were deliberately selling our most precious technology to the Chi-Coms for a mess of pottage. It's true. We'll sell them the rope, that they'll use to hang us. Of course it's true. Of course. Who said that? Was that Carl? Did Carl say that? Or was it Groucho? Maybe Harpo. I think it was Carl. I went to Bart Kopp's site, bartkopp.com. Bartkopp.com. I went to his site like I do every day and found something worth stealing. So I took it. This is a quote from Karl Rove. It's on Bart Kopp's website. They're tossing out these baseless charges. The president accused the Chamber of Commerce of a criminal violation by getting foreign money and spending it on American political campaigns, and they have not one shred of evidence to back up that baseless lie. This is a disturbing trend by the president to tar his political adversaries with some kind of enemies list, with being unrestrained by any facts or evidence whatsoever. Oh, damn. Have these people no shame? Does the president have such little regard for the office he holds that he goes out there and makes these kind of baseless charges against his political enemies? This is just beyond the pale. How dare the president do this? It's Karl Rove. The balls of this man to say that. So Bart Kopp answers, hey, Karl. Since the Chamber of Commerce refuses to say where they got the money, the logical assumption is they are ashamed of the donor or it was illegal. If they did nothing illegal, why can't they divulge the source? Also, Carl, did Obama's lie, so-called, that you claim, kill 5,000 American soldiers? Did Obama's lie, so-called, disable 30,000 young Americans for life? Karl Rove, he's another one. Boy, I'll tell you, when the lights go out, I want that pus-squirting son of a bitch, too. I really do. I've got a whole list of the ones I want when the lights go out. Maybe I can work a deal with the Chi-Coms. Maybe, you know, maybe I can convince them of, hey, boys, listen, I know the terrain. I've been in South Texas. Let me get in on the killing when the time is right, because I know that's what y'all are going to do, right? I know that's what the Chi-Coms are going to do. But listen to how we've been reduced to a third world country. They come here now to take our natural resources, just like we've done, just like we're doing in Afghanistan, or trying to do. I mean, you know, this goddamn Taliban won't cooperate. But the Chinese are here, and they're here. They're not here for all the wonderful things we produce, because we don't produce wonderful things anymore. They're here for the most basic emerging or submerging societal elements they can get their hands on, and that's our rocks and our fossil fuels and our dirt. And maybe our grass and some trees and wheat and maybe some genetically engineered corn and, you know, and stuff like that. We will sell them the rope that they'll use to hang us. Was that Harpo? Groucho? I don't know. All right, coming up here after the break. Did you know that in the past 20 years, the real estate, insurance, and finance industries, which are all the same, corrupted our political system with $2.4 billion worth of corruption? That's what they used to pay off members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. Let me see, $2.4 billion. And 20 years. What is that? $120 million a year? I don't even know. Once I get beyond counting on fingers and toes, I get all lost. Stick around. The next hour is going to be a singer. It will singe you. 7 past the hour here on the Malloy program. As promised, I want to spend some time here talking about insurance. No. Don't leave. The insurance industry, which includes insurance, finance, and real estate, has, over the past 20 years, contributed $2.4 billion, not contributed, but given $2.4 billion to candidates in our soon to be dead and currently dying political system. That works out to what, $120 million a year for the past 20 years. That's a lot of money, unless you're an insurance company. What do you suppose they've gotten for that money? Probably a lot, not the least of which is preventing any administration in the United States political history from ever succeeding in getting single-payer health care passed. Do you realize how much money the insurance industry would see disappear before their very eyes if we had single-payer health care in this country? Anyway, that was then, this is now. That's over the past 20 years. According to Bloomberg, is it Bloomberg? No. Where did I get this? LA Times, I think. I think this came from the LA Times. The insurance industry is pouring money into the Republican election campaigns this year in hopes of, the primary hope is that they're going to be scaling back. Once these Republicans get elected, they will be scaling back these wide-ranging regulations in the new health care law, but preserving the mandate in the health care law that Americans buy coverage. Okay, so what the insurance companies, you know, they jumped on board. An extra 34 million subscribed people have to buy insurance. Yay! But things you have to do to get that business, boo! I'll get to that in a second. Since January, the nation's five largest insurers and the insurance industry's Washington-based lobbyists have given three times more money to Republican lawmakers and political action committees than to Democrats. Now, this is a definite change from just a year ago when the insurance industry largely split its political donations between the parties. That's according to federal election filings. Got to wonder, gee, what made them change? They were paying off rat bastards on both sides of the aisle before, Democrats and Republicans. Why are they paying off now only the rat bastards on the Republican side of the aisle? What, you may be asking yourself, is afoot? Let me continue. The largest insurers are also paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to lobbyists with close ties to Republican lawmakers who could shape health policy come January when the Republicans take over. Ta-da! A former executive at Cigna Corporation, one of the country's biggest insurers, a lobbyist said, quote, "The industry would love to have a Republican Congress. They were very, very successful during the years of Republican domination in Washington." End quote. Wendell Potter is his name, former executive of Cigna. "The industry, the insurance industry, would love to have a Republican Congress because they were very successful during the years of Republican domination in Washington." What does that mean? You know what it means. Many Republican leaders have enthusiastically embraced the call to revise the health care legislation, vowing, you've heard this how many times, from these vampiric teabagger, right-wing, neo-fascist candidates, "We're going to repeal and replace the law in the next congressional session." Right? How many times have you heard that? Well, the insurance industry is backing those screamers. Yes, please do. Just repeal that part where we have to do anything. Keep that part where everybody has to buy. We like that. That's why we backed President Obama. We made him think we were really interested in insurance reform. Ah! Oh my God, it sounds like a witch. I'm not a witch. I'm you. The insurance industry, attracted by the prospect of millions of new customers as a result of the coverage mandate, you know, Obamacare, as the Republicans refer to it, initially backed Obama's campaign to overhaul the health care system. And the insurers, the filthy, disgusting insurance companies, the worst, these are parasites of the highest order. They suck money out of people. And boy, when I'm finished with this, do I have a story coming after this? They suck money out of people. And then when it's time to do what they promise to do,
well, you pay us the premiums every month. And when you get sick or you die, we will provide your beneficiaries with money.
No, they don't. They don't at all. They scored a victory, these filthy insurance companies, when Democrats abandoned plans to create a government insurance plan. Remember the public option? Remember the public option where if you didn't like your insurance company, you could get what essentially was going to be Medicare for those of us who want to give the middle finger to these vampires in the insurance industry. Remember that? It's gone. Insurers, now the companies are increasingly saying, screw you, at the new directives in the healthcare law. Among other things, the law prohibits, and you know this, the law prohibits insurance companies from denying coverage to sick children. We don't like that! Or canceling policies when customers become ill. We don't like that! The new law bars insurers from placing lifetime caps on how much they'll have to pay when their customers get sick. We don't like that! We like that part where everybody's got to buy. We don't like that part where we got to pay. Many consumers will also get new rights to appeal when they are denied claims and win access to preventive care without being asked for copays. We don't like either one of those. Appeal? Hey, listen, once our functionary says no to a claim, by God, that's got to stand. And what's this preventive nonsense? A veteran healthcare analyst and senior vice president at CRT Capital Group says, quote, the health reform law did not deliver the uninsured in the way the insurers wanted, end quote. That's right. The healthcare law delivered approximately 40 million new customers that will have to buy insurance by 2014, but there were too many little requirements trailing after all these people. Oh, we've got to insure sick children. Oh, for Christ's sake. We've got to put caps on, or take the caps off on how much we'll spend if somebody is ill their entire life. Oh, for God's sake. We've got to open up an appeals process. So when we say no, people have a way to appeal just like they do in a court. Oh, is that a knee slapper? The insurance industry loved the part about everybody has to buy insurance, but hated the part about where they have to use the premiums to actually pay claims. And as we pointed out in this program before, some insurers have recently said they'll stop selling certain policies rather than comply with the mandates, for example, to insure sick children.
Sick children? It's not our fault little bastards are sick. What, you want insurance? Oh, come on. We're supposed to insure some five-year-old? What if the little puke lives to be 26 before he dies? We're supposed to pay out all that time? Get out of town.
Insurers are also fighting efforts by the Obama administration to expand federal oversight of premiums.
What?
Yeah, federal oversight of premiums. How much you're gouging the public.
Oh, we don't like that either.
And many industry leaders worry about new regulations that will set minimum standards for the benefits that they offer. The benefits. The benefits. Minimum standards.
No, we don't like that either. Oh, damn. Get this boy off the air. We don't like any of this stuff. We just want the money.
You have
truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So the health insurance industry, one of the most, or not health insurance, but just the insurance industry itself in all of its many myriad forms, is probably one of the most vampiric, corrupt capitalist organizations on earth. Somebody said once to me, don't look at the banks or the investment houses to locate the money. Look at the insurance companies. Well, that's very true. And they didn't get that way by doing what their contracts call for. In other words, collecting premiums, money that goes into a pool, paying out payments when claims are made. That's not how the insurance industry works. You should know that by now, and I'm sure you do. Anyway, Cigna Insurance's head lobbyist, G. William Hoagland, a former senior Republican Senate aide, which most of the lobbyists are, said his company, Cigna, hoped to get a more receptive hearing next year. The lobbyist says that the health insurance industry, or the insurance industry, is all political now. He said, quote, once we get beyond the election, maybe cooler heads will prevail. By that he means the whores, no offense to sex workers, that the insurance industry has paid off in the House and the Senate, will really go to work once the Republicans retain a majority. And one of the first things they'll do is start gutting, slicing, snipping, cutting the so-called Health Insurance Reform Act, you know, Obamacare, right? Insurers in the past, of course, the insurance industry has always been able to count on the Republican Party. For example, Republicans expanded Medicare's use of commercial insurance companies to administer benefits. Right? All right, we got Medicare. It's socialism. That's communism. But here, let's have it administered by private industry. That's called, never mind what it's called, boy, but let's do it. Well, that's been very profitable for the insurers. And it's one of those costs that come out of Medicare expenses that older folks have to pay for without even realizing it. Right? Aha! It's wonderful. With the help of Republican legislation, the insurance industry also has increasingly shifted costs to consumers through high deductible plans. Why, of course. How many people have insurance now with a $1,500 deductible, $2,000 deductible, $5,000 deductible? Where did that come from? It came from the Republican whores in Washington, the elected thugs who have been doing the bidding of the insurance industry, and not a few Democratic pieces of human waste in the Congress. Anyway, Republicans have pushed to allow insurance companies to sell their plans across state lines. Remember the, what is it called? The Pledge to America or something had to do with insurance. The Republicans want insurance companies to be able to sell their plans across state lines. That sounds like, yawn, so what? Well, that avoids state regulations. Different states have different regulations. This way, now, aren't the Republicans always talking about state sovereignty? Well, not where it concerns this much money. Come on, boy. Republican party leaders, Boehner and Cantor and the rest of these monsters, have made that idea that insurance companies should be able to sell their policies across state lines to hell with state regulations a centerpiece of their 2011 health care agenda. So remember, anytime they talk about, well, states' rights, states are, they're only talking about black people. They're only talking about bringing back the Jim Crow laws. Or legislating against folks who happen to be gay. Or against folks who happen to want to build a mosque somewhere. Republicans are sick, degenerate white people who want to retain their power as long as they can. I have news for you. And I'm white, so I can say this to you honky bastards. The end of white power is coming. Why don't you prepare for that? Why don't you get involved in power sharing before somebody slips into your bungalow at night and slits your throat? Huh, white folks? Come on. I'm speaking figuratively Of course. But anyway, I digress. Hartford, Connecticut-based Aetna has given three times more to Republicans this year. Louisville-based Humana has given the same. Indianapolis-based WellPoint, which was vilified by Democrats for proposing huge rate increases in California, has given nearly nine times as much to Republicans this year. Oh, by the way, WellPoint's lobbying team includes a former senior aide to Wyoming Senator Michael Enzi, who, surprise, surprise, would be the chair of the Senate Health Panel when the Republicans take over this November. Enzi, of course, is a leading proponent of less state regulation of health plans. We don't need no stinking regulations! Aetna and Humana also have hired former Republican aides to the Senate Finance Committee, which would also play an important role in modifying the health care law. You see what these people have in store for you? We'll be back. When we come back, now that I've given you the setup, now I want to give you the rest of the story.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Remember when you were a kid, I'm assuming your mother, your grandmother, you say things like, you're known by the company you keep, or lie down with dogs, get up with fleas. Remember that? So a lot of people who listen to the sometimes oblique connections I make between cause and effect, or people that do bad things and hang out with other people who do bad things, they're all guilty of the same bad things, they come up with that, oh, that's guilt by association. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Now I'm going to give you another example. I just gave you an example of the insurance companies desperately wanting to see Republicans in control after November 2nd, which will probably happen, so that they, the insurance industry, or so that it, the insurance industry, can dismantle those sections of the Obama Health Reform Act that does not put money in their pockets, and can continue with the parts of that law that does put money in their pockets. There is not a more corrupt, filthy organization on earth than insurance industry, the insurance industry. Trust me on that. Or if you don't, do your own damn research. Don't trust me on anything. Now, you want some proof? This is the guilt by association thing. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, failed to inform 6 million soldiers and their families of an agreement enabling Prudential Financial Incorporated, Prudential, to withhold lump sum payments of life insurance benefits for survivors of service members killed while they're in uniform. That's according to records made public through a Freedom of Information request. The amendment to Prudential's contract with the government. An amendment is the first document to show how Veterans Administration officials okayed a payment practice that has brought up investigations by lawmakers and regulators. Since 1999, Prudential has used so-called retained asset accounts, which allow the company to withhold lump sum payments due to survivors and earn investment income on the money for itself. Prudential got a contract from the Veterans Administration back in 1965, before a lot of you folks were even born. The idea was every combat soldier, or every soldier, would have life insurance policy. And when that soldier would be killed, the soldier's family or next of kin would receive a lump sum payment. Prudential, about 20 years ago, I think it was about 20 years ago, decided, let's change it a little bit. Let's change it. Prudential has, after they changed it, has used a so-called retained asset account system, which allows the company to withhold these payments. Now, back on September 1st, 2009, another amendment to Prudential's contract with the VA ratified another unpublicized deal that had been struck between the insurer, Prudential, and the government 10 years earlier. One that was never put into writing. No, you don't want to put this stuff in writing. This is according to Bloomberg Markets Magazine in its November issue. This verbal agreement in 1999 provoked concern among top insurance officials at the Veterans Administration. For a decade, until the contract was formally changed, Prudential wasn't fulfilling its obligations to survivors of members of the military who were killed. That's according to an insurance lawyer who runs the nonprofit Center for Insurance Research in Cambridge, Mass. His name is Brendan Bridgeland. Bridgeland says, quote, "It's very clear they, Prudential, violated the original terms of the contract." Paul Sullivan, who served in the 1991 Gulf War as an Army cavalry scout, is now executive director of Veterans for Common Sense, a nonprofit advocacy group in Washington, says, quote, "Every veteran I've spoken with is appalled at the brazen war profiteering by Prudential. And now veterans are upset at the Veterans Administration's inability to stop Prudential's bad behavior." What? Can't stop it? Ooh. Oh, that's right. There's a contract. Oh, my goodness. War profiteering of the worst kind. Dick Cheney and his cadre of thugs and monsters profiteered off three wars to an extent unheard of in the United States. But this is even worse. That the VA allowed Prudential to issue the so-called retained asset accounts for 10 years, while the contract they signed with the VA required lump sum payouts, is, according to Paul Sullivan, quote, "more evidence that the VA was asleep at the wheel for a decade." Who was in power during that decade? Sullivan says, quote, "when grieving families check the box that says they want a lump sum, they should get it. We remain," he says, "disappointed and irate at the Veteran Administration's failure to provide advocacy for veterans." Okay, so the VA did not provide advocacy. Prudential pissed all over the corpses of American soldiers and told the families to take a hike, so that they, Prudential, could keep the money. Since July 28th this year, when Bloomberg Markets first reported that Prudential sent checkbooks instead of checks to survivors who were requesting lump sum payouts, state and federal officials have demanded that the so-called retained asset system be investigated and reformed. The VA itself launched a probe of its life insurance program the day the first story was published. The next day, New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo launched what he called a major fraud investigation of Prudential and other life insurers over the use of these retained asset accounts. The insurance departments in Georgia and New York have also opened probes. U.S. House Oversight and Reform Committee plans to hold hearings into Prudential's use of retained asset accounts to pay money owed to fallen soldier survivors. To make a long story short, oh, by the way, U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who was in office when that 2009 agreement was signed, said when the VA started its probe that he had been unaware that survivors were being sent retained assets accounts instead of lump sum payment. "I didn't know anything about it," Gates said. "I had no idea." Under Prudential's original 1965 contract with the VA, and a 2007 revised contract, both of which were released as part of this Freedom of Information Act request. The insurer, Prudential, is required to send lump sum payments to survivors requesting them. The contract covers 6 million active service members, their families, and veterans. The checkbooks that Prudential sends instead to survivors are tied to what Prudential calls its alliance account. The checkbooks are made up of drafts or IOUs, and they are not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. Prudential then takes the survivor's money and invests it in its general corporate account, where it can earn Prudential as much as 8 times as much as it currently pays in interest to the beneficiaries. Do you understand this, Truth Seeker? Do you understand what I'm saying here? What the Prudential Insurance Company has been doing in violation of anything that would be considered decent or human? The beneficiaries do not benefit from the investment. Prudential and its shareholders do. Prudential signed a contract. Okay, if they check the box, if the survivors of these people that go die for Capitalist America, if the survivors check a box that says we want a lump sum, whatever it is, $20, $30, $50, $100,000, okay, we'll do that. And they haven't been. They haven't been. And they have kept it so secret that even Secretary of Defense Robert Gates says he didn't know that Prudential was doing this. Instead, when the families of these people killed, defending capitalism, that's all they defend. When the families of the people killed, defending capitalism, request a lump sum, capitalism says, go screw yourself. Here's a checkbook. Write checks. We'll take care of your money. Prudential held $662 million of survivors' money in its corporate general account as of June 30th, according to information provided by the VA. $0.6 billion that should have been paid out to the families of men and women who were killed fighting for capitalism. And capitalism said, oh no, we're keeping the money. Prudential's general account earned 4.2% in 2009, mostly from bond investments. The company has paid survivors holding these accounts 0.5%. My, that's a big difference when you're talking $0.6 billion. And you wonder why I get so goddamn furious on this program at night. Please. So anyway, families of soldiers killed while in uniform in the United States military were supposed to receive lump sum payments under the terms of this contract with Prudential. And since they haven't been getting it, they may be able to successfully sue Prudential for lost interest. That's according to an insurance lawyer. So if you are a family who has been getting these deferred payments, all you have to do is come up with a lawyer. That's all. That's all I have to do. Just come up with a lawyer who will take, what, a third, a half, 75% of what you win. See how this works, huh? Oh, by the way, a spokesman for Prudential, a guy named Bob D. Filippo, says his company is following the terms of its agreement with the VA. He says In a prepared statement, quote, Prudential is in compliance with its contract with the Department of Veterans Affairs, end quote. He declined to comment on whether Prudential was in compliance with its contract between 1999 and September 2009, or to answer any other questions. You see, it was during that time that they came up with the idea of ripping off the families of dead soldiers. Yeah? So Mr. DeFilippo has decided, well, I'm not going to talk about that. Oh, and the CEO of the company, John Strangfeld, declined to comment on anything for this story. The CEO of Prudential. You got to love these people, right? 9 out of every 10 survivors ask Prudential for lump sum payments. The VA says Prudential sends those families checkbooks instead of checks. And Prudential retains the money and invests it and makes a fortune. Documents released in the FOIA request show some signs of concern within the VA after Prudential proposed to retain asset accounts in 1998. Retained asset accounts. Isn't that nice? The official who allowed Prudential to introduce the account said that the insurer's checkbook system wasn't protected by the FDIC. So, disasters do happen, huh? You know. So, if this account goes belly up because of poor investments, guess what happens to the survivor benefits? 3, 2, 1. That's right. They don't exist anymore. Kind of like home equity. Kind of like your 401k account. And if one of these filthy insurance executives does a Bernie Madoff and skips with all the money, what happens to the survivors then? Nothing! Literally. Literally. Insurance contract professor Mr. Stemple, who I've quoted earlier, says that regardless of the outcome of any lawsuit, it's clear that Prudential Insurance Company manipulated a federal contract at the expense of military members and their relatives. Professor Stemple says, quote, at a minimum, survivors ought to be made whole with their missed interest. At a minimum. These companies seem to have the best interests of their company and their stockholders at heart instead of those of the soldiers and their families who gave the ultimate so that these filthy, disgusting capitalist predators could continue to exist. This is unbelievable. Some of the families of veterans have taken their complaints to court. 5 survivors filed a federal fraud lawsuit in Boston back in August against Prudential, claiming Prudential has earned as much as $500 million in profits by improperly keeping beneficiaries' money instead of paying it out in a lump sum. Now, this is what will come to even fuller flower. This kind of fraud, this kind of capitalist predation, this kind of why would anyone in this country allow their son or daughter to join the military? What is wrong with you people? But once the Republicans take over, as they surely will, the pollsters say, come November 2nd, you can expect more of this and more of it. More wars. More drop in insurance benefits. More screwed beneficiaries. Beneficiaries of the young men, the children, who are sent off to die and kill, and hopefully die, for capitalist America. And then capitalist America, in the form of these filthy, putrid insurance companies, will continue to do what they do best. And it's not taking care of it. They're insured. The people who bought the policies. I mean, what? what needs to be explained about corporate America and the Republican Party? What needs to be explained? What the hell does it take for people to wake up? The Democratic Party is no big shakes either, but the Republicans? Are you serious? Are people really going to vote for these ghouls? Speaking of ghouls, you seen that picture of Dick Cheney? What does it take? Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Here's what it takes. Vote them in. Vote the Republicans in. Watch what happens to what's left of our representative democracy. And when we've had enough, then we will overthrow the bastards and try to start again. Or not. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.